You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Friday, 14 November, Chinese house price index data came out a couple of hours ago, -2.2% year on year. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Gary Boyson from Rand Swiss. So yesterday, at one point, our market was up well over 2,000 points. We didn't close that high, but we hit highs. The Rand went below 17. Felt really good to be a local investor, but I want to dig in. I mean, is he worried? Is he finding value? How's he thinking about this? Charles Savage from Purple Group. Strong results and the growth flywheel as they need to get more clients using more products. And then thoughts from me on a primary budget surplus. A lot of folks, media outlets, not seeming to understand. So we'll dig into what it is and why it matters. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning markets, MoneyWeb, Google to pay 688 million rand to SA media houses following Competition Commission settlement. This is part of a broader agreement with Google, Meta, YouTube, X, and TikTok. Business Day, Brait sets deadline for Virgin Active listing. But it's 2 years away, December 2027. Morning markets, the US was red, S&P down 1.75%, the NASDAQ a little over 2% lower. East is mostly red, Sydney bucking the trend, up almost 0.5%. Tokyo's down 1.7%, Hong Kong down 1%, and Tencent a little over 1% weaker. Commodities, mostly red, gold futures down to 4,210. Brent is green, but not by a lot, at 64.22. Platinum, 1,617. Palladium, 1,466. Rand, 1,701. Bitcoin, 99,200. Top 40 opening call, red open expected, 740 points, 0.7% lower.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Gary Boyson from Rand Swiss. Gary, appreciate the time. Yesterday, staring at my screens, at one point our market was up. It was about 2.5%, a couple of thousand points. We didn't close there. We closed about 1% higher, still at all-time highs. We had the Rand under 17. It felt really good to be a South African investor. And it's been a good year for us, but it really was a wild day. And it has been a strong year. It's been gold-driven, but still a year that we will take as investors.
Absolutely. It's been an incredible year to be a South African investor. But you had to be, you mentioned gold there, you had to be in gold. So if you look at the top 40 for the year, I mean, we're up 45% in Rand terms. I mean, that is a spectacular by any measure historically. If you convert that to US dollars, we're up 61% in US dollar terms because of that Rand strength. So, I mean, unbelievable. And that compares to something like the S&P 500, which is only up just under 16% for the year. Mm-hmm. But as you said, that run has come from gold. If you look at the top performing stocks in our market, so if I look at the All Share Index, AngloGold, Sibanye, DRD Gold, Goldfields, all up over 200% year to date. The next five, Northam, Pan Af, Implats, Volterra, Harmony, all up over 100%. Those are the top performing stocks. If you didn't have a gold focus, I mean, the next stock that comes in is 90% up, which is MTN. So, I mean, yes, our market at an index level is up dramatically, but it really is in the precious metal counters. And a lot of this, I think, I mean, let's compare that. Okay, so a 61% return in gold for the year, spot gold in dollar terms. You compare that to all the exuberance around the AI, the future growth in AI, the NASDAQ is only up 20%. So the question that you should be asking here is, you know, this is a massive nominal rally, but, you know, a lot of this is actually boosted by fiat currency depreciation. This is a much weaker dollar that has been lifting and a weaker rand. Just the rand is weakening a lot more slowly than the US dollar. And that's why we're getting these this big jump in nominal values when you measure them in rand or US dollars. And I suppose it's a great time not to be sitting in cash. That's what this year has been about. Be invested in stocks, be invested in gold, be invested in property, be invested in anything other than putting your cash in the mattress.
That's actually a great point. It's been a bad year. Cash has returned money, but I mean, it's done nothing relative. Do you look out at this? I mean, does it fill you? I mean, the one thing that strikes me is that this has been a great rally, but it's been a gold driven. So if gold suddenly reverses, man, we're going down with it, and as fast as we went up. I mean, when you look at the market, are you seeing value? Are you seeing concern? How are you looking at this as we head to the end of the year?
It's a good question, and it's a difficult question to answer, because if you take the base case that a lot of the returns that we've seen here have been, I suppose it's more currency weakness that's created these super normal returns.
Yeah.
That historically doesn't tend to unwind dramatically. So in that world, you know, you almost set a base, and then you can continue from there. And I mean, if you're looking at the local market specifically, you know, there are many very optimistic things happening in South Africa. So, I mean, we obviously had the mini budget this week as well. I mean, revenue projection above 2 trillion, you know, very optimistic tone. We're now obviously anchoring inflation expectations at around 3%, which is going to change a lot of things for South Africa. You know, one of them is that the long run expectations of what markets can deliver is going to reduce, because your inflation calculation, your inflation expectation is going to be that much lower. So looking for kind of 15% aggregate for the year from the local stock market, that needs to reduce as well. Like, I mean, your whole framework around wage negotiations need to change. Long-term, you know, the long-term path of interest rates in South Africa, that expectation needs to change. So yeah, a lot of it is positive. You know, at the same time, I mean, we've got S&P outlook this evening as well. You know, we BBA, at least BB minus at S&P, we've got a positive outlook from November 2024. There's a good chance that we get upgraded there. So you know, as much as I say this is all currency weakness, there are very good operational things happening in South Africa. And from a valuation point of view, we're not particularly expensive. I mean, if we look at the top 40, you know, we're trading at roughly, you know, say 15 times earnings in aggregate, compared to the S&P 500 at around 30. So, so our market is about half the price of the S&P 500. Now, of course, you've got to factor in your expected earnings growth. That's why that S&P 500 key is so much higher. But at the same time, you know, like things are looking better. There's no question about that either.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. I mean, I take your point. And it's important. I mean, these are small steps. These are baby steps. This is a process. It's not going to happen overnight, but it's trending in the right direction. That is the key point. And if we can get an upgrade tonight from S&P, that would be awesome. We'll leave it there. Gary Poisson, Rand Swiss, always appreciate the early morning time. Our poll today is about that Rand. Where next? I mean, maybe you're not brave enough to make a call. Or is it heading stronger? Or is it weaker from here? Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. Let your money weather the storms with Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in the Stanlib Global Select Fund, a diversified all-weather equity portfolio submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Charles Savage, CEO, Purple Group. Disclaimer up front, I hold shares in Purple Group. Year-end results for August, revenue up 21.5%, HEPS up 143%. Active easy equity accounts, clients up 15 odd to 1.1 million and some change. Charles, appreciate the time here. I was looking at the numbers, and in fact, I spotted it at the update. If I separate into H1, H2, revenue's higher in the second half. The expenses are a little higher, but not massively so. But HEPS down. What drove that? I mean, is that, it doesn't look like shares an issue. Was that the tax bill? What nudged it lower?
Yeah, so the second half of the year has got some anomalies in it. I mean, the one is, from a cost perspective, you noted higher costs. We've got salary increases are in March, so that's our cycle. And then bonus provisions as well. We start providing for bonuses once we've got sight of, okay, you know, what the year is going to turn out to be. Those were the cost effects that kind of means that the cost isn't balanced or normalized. The other cost effects were that our marketing campaigns leave it up in the second half of the year as well. So, you know, those cost effects are why there's an imbalance between the two periods. But fundamentally, if you've got to just step back and look at the year through 12 months, there are anomalies in our business like that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, and HEPS, I love HEPS. I hope the JSE don't do away with it, but I totally take your point on that. The number that, I mean, there's a lot of numbers that jump out to me. Easy Equities, assets under management, up almost 40%, 80 billion and change. It's probably higher since end of August. How much of that was markets versus client deposits?
Yeah, the market gave our customers about a 20% lift in the period. So that's a big number. Customers lifted it a further 20%. So, you know, they keep pitching up as much as the market does, which keeps surprising us, but it shouldn't 11 years later. But the market, you know, generally they get on average, if you look at the numbers and the results, it's on average, it's a 30% lift year on year. And typically that's normally split 50-50 between the customer and the market. This year, both the customer and the market did more lifting, and just customers pitched up more this year because interest rates were slightly lower. And you know, with every interest rate cut, they put more into their investments.
An April panic, and I put panic in inverted commas. I mean, markets were crashing the world over. Your clients, I mean, I've asked you this question before around panics. They put their head down and say, you know what, this is what markets do. And the best response is nothing, or perhaps go shopping.
Look, they went shopping. It was a massive inflow. It actually broke the record at the time for the biggest deposit month. It was about 1.5 billion. And those deposits bought stocks that were down anything from 20 to 40%. So, you know, 30 days later, they were sitting on 25% increases. And so I've seen some research. They're calling it the buy the dip generation in the US. These guys, they're not waiting for the crash to kind of settle out. They realize it's hard to pick the bottom and rather climb in when they see value. And that's what they did in April.
One of the new features over the last year has been the easy ETFs. You've got three actively managed on the JSE, about R1 billion in assets under management. I mean, that is, that's a huge number, however you spin it. And to be clear, I mean, there's the AI one. I was actually having a look at it earlier in the week. It's done phenomenal. I think it's up over 50% in the last 12 months. And I imagine you've got lots of space for new ideas there. One of them you mentioned, maybe a crypto ETF, if you can get exchange approval.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that product hit the mark last year. I mean, in under 9 months, they raised over R1 billion into those funds. Those funds specifically came first and second in their category, the balance fund being the one that came second in its category. The other two are actually number one in their categories over 12 months. But it's a good example of where brand distribution and a good strategy delivers and can deliver very fast. So, you know, our ambitions are to be the largest active issuer in the country because we fundamentally believe that active issuance is going to be a retail game, not an institutional game. And given our distribution and brand advantage, we've got, you know, we've got every opportunity to do it. And this year evidenced that we can make a mark pretty quickly. So I'm very excited about the role easy ETFs will play. And importantly, it's a partnership business. So whilst the first ones that we listed are our manager, we've got a stack of listings supporting other managers coming out in the next 6 months.
You've got a ton of products. I mean, obviously, Easy Equities is the big one. Then you've got the crypto, you've got the Easy ETFs, you've got property, you've got loans, home loans, Easy Bonds. And I'm going to preface this by saying I grew up with the understanding that bonds were boring, bonds were for, with respect, grandparents and institutions. You've got, what, a million accounts? Sorry, not a million accounts, a million accounts to sell it to. But you've got strong traction in what is traditionally a boring part of the market. Your clients are everywhere.
Yeah, listen, that bond product is phenomenal. I mean, you know, it might be boring, but if you bought it around the GNU, you would have got a 12, 13% return with almost no risk. So it's a great product. And traditionally, the retail market was excluded from participating. And retail bonds, which I know you're a big fan of, those are inaccessible these days. You know, there's nowhere to buy them. So, you know, we took that to heart and created a product that gives the man in the street access to government bonds. We were talking earlier, perhaps there's a credit rating increase. And if there is, then bonds are going to continue to appreciate. And South African bonds have been a top performing asset class for decades now. Retail need it in their portfolio.
Yeah. The government retail bonds, to be clear, sometimes they ask you to fax documentation. That's beyond all of us and doesn't work. And this really is what the Easy Equity or the Purple Group story is. You've got those 1.1 million active accounts. You talk around the flywheel in your results. It's getting more product into more accounts, into more different customers. What is the average? How many products does the average customer have at this point?
They're just under two. So
okay,
on average, it's pretty close to two now. And that's the magic is, you know, we've got 1.1 million customers that on average are consuming two of our products. Our current product stack is about 10. And so, you know, we don't have to do too much work to move two up to three and three up to four. And that's how we create more value. It's not by extracting more value from our customers. It's by delivering more value through more products and attaching ourselves to more parts of their financial lives.
And that again and again, they come back to the bonds because, you know, bonds are typically, you know, boring and everything else. The Easy Equities, the Purple Group client, they're staggeringly smart. And I know that sounds almost facetious and like I'm talking down to people, but it really isn't. I mean, they're going and finding these products and finding where they fit their needs.
Simon, you and I have been around this market as long as each other. And when we started out, the dialogue was that retail investors were stupid. That was the dialogue. And the truth is the data after a decade has taught us that they're super smart and savvy and they make good financial decisions. And in the result, they're kind of a top quartile manager for their own money. So they keep surprising us. I must stop saying that I'm surprised because I shouldn't be.
Yeah.
But when I say it, I mean that they surprise the rhetoric that lined the streets 20 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember chatting to you when Sasol was around 20, what was that, 5 years ago, and the fact that your clients were making a fortune from it and the institutional fund managers weren't. A last question, top 40 ambition. I mean, it's one thing to have big dreams. You've put it out there in writing so we can check on it. You want to be a top 40 stock, which is about, what, 20 times up from where you are today?
Yeah, exactly right. And, you know, history is probably the best reflection of the future. And so 11 years ago, we invested 2 million rand to create Easy Equities. And that business today, when you add back Sanlam's portion, is about a 5 billion rand business. And so our ambitions today should be far greater than they were 11 years ago. We've got more customers, more partners, more products, more brand, more everything. And so I actually don't think that our ambitions are that ambitious in the context of what we've achieved in the last decade. But an entry point to the top 40 would be a nice milestone, and I think it is well within our sights to do it in the next decade.
And if you look at the likes of Robinhood, the likes of Coinbase, and in many senses you are both of those, I mean, they're in respective S&P 500, so it's not the craziest idea ever, notwithstanding you'd be the first stockbroker, but heck, why not? Charles Savage, CEO Purple Group, appreciate the time.
Give your money smoother returns with StanLib Asset Management. The StanLib Flexible Income Fund's agile investment process preserves and grows capital in all markets.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Friday thoughts for me in a primary budget surplus. I've been seeing lots get this wrong. What is a primary budget surplus? The key point is primary. What that means is a surplus when a government's revenue exceeds expenditure before interest payments. And that's the key thing. It's before interest payments. But it does mean that our government is receiving more in tax revenue than they spend on running the country. And it's a good place to be. You still have to pay the interest. Make no mistake. It's not that that debt bill and that interest bill has gone away. But because of the fact that you have a primary surplus, it means you have some extra cash left over every year to pay down some of that debt. So the debt trajectory is starting to head down. And that is the really, really key point. And it means in theory, ultimately in time, that debt will be gone. Of course, it's going to take a long, long time. It's not that our surplus, our primary surplus is that giant, but it puts you in the right place. It's, you know, imagine a household that gets 10 rand in income but spends 9. That's a good space versus one that gets 10 and spends 11. We're the receiving 10 and spending 9. Puts us in a good place. And at the end of the day, we still have a budget deficit because of those interest payments. We still have to borrow every year. But it's not that we are completely out of the woods. It's that we're going on the right direction. And a last point is that very few countries actually have a primary budget surplus. I was digging around. It's maybe a dozen in the world. Botswana, some of the Scandinavians. Certainly not the US, not the UK, not France, not Germany, not Italy. Not many of the sort of developed market economies have primary budget surplus. It does put us in a good place. It's a long road, as Gary said, but at least we seem to be, at this point, heading in the right direction. That's it for today. We're chatting with Sean Dundere yesterday. We were talking the Goldfields update and their new dividend policy. They're going to pay a third of free cash flow as dividend. And the market sold off on that. And I think the reason was maybe because AngloGold Ashanti is paying 50%. We asked you if you thought that Gold Fields was being stingy with that dividend. Over half said yes. AngloGold Ashanti paying 50% is the benchmark. Don't only give us a third. The rest was split between no, it's great, and some of you saying no gold miners for you. Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us a positive rating and a review in your podcatcher of choice. We'll chat again Monday, G20. Does it matter?
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.